Welcome to the Grill Room. On the menu this week, all the latest news, views, and opinions from the world of professional golf. Your maitre d's are Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli, two friends who rarely agree on anything. You can count on them to give you both sides of the story, whether you want it or not. So come on in, have a seat, and remember, anything that comes from the Grill Room is definitely on our tab. The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses. And remember, keep your applause to a mild clap, all right? After all, we're talking golf here.
All right, let's open those doors real wide on the Grill Room. We're only 2 weeks away from another major championship, and that'll be number 3 on the year. Hi, I'm Bob Bubker, and guess what? Alex Maselli's not here. He's already over in Scotland getting ready for the Open Championship. I guess if you're in Scotland, can I guess St. Andrews?
You can. That's why you opened the doors very wide today.
Yeah, they have wide doors there, and no doubt about it. How was your trip over?
It's the usual. You know, I've been doing this long enough that I'm just trying to recover. But, you know, it's good to be back and get a little temperature change from the humid and hot conditions of the East Coast. But obviously conditions that seem to favor some guys this week, a lot of pretty interesting golf.
Yeah, it really was a lot of interesting golf. And you know, the amazing thing about St. Andrews, and this is for all of our listeners that haven't had the privilege or the pleasure or the honor or whatever adjective you want to use to have visited St. Andrews. Strongly urge anybody that loves this game of golf, has played it on occasion, put St. Andrews on your bucket list. I mean, I'm sure you'll agree with me, Alex. I know it's one of your favorite places in the world. And no matter how many times you go there, you get the same kind of thrill when you get to the golf course.
Oh, absolutely. It's always great. There's no experience like it. I was reading something where someone said something about, you know, what is something? It was something they were doing. I don't know if it was some kind of extreme sport. And they said, well, how would you explain it, what it's like? And they said, well, you really can't explain it. Until you've done it, you can't explain it. And that's true about coming here. You can't really explain it. You can only experience it, and then you'll know.
And I'm sure you will agree with me, much to your chagrin, that you would recommend anybody that's ever been involved in this sport of golf, whether they played it, whether they just watch it, whether they just anything, you know, you can go to here, let me sum it up this way. I think very strongly you can go to St. Andrews and hate golf and still love St. Andrews.
Oh, absolutely. It's unbelievable. It's magical. It really is. It's a small town, but it's magical. And I think if you had come here, it's not a place you'd say, okay, I've been there, done that. It's a place that I love coming back to all the time. So I don't think there's any question that this is a really special place.
All right, I'm not supposed to ask you this. I see a little note here. Do not ask, but I'll do it anyway. Where are you playing tomorrow?
I'm playing on the Jubilee tomorrow.
Oh, that's a nice place to play.
In the morning.
Have you played there before?
Yes, yeah. Jubilee and... And new, I played all the courses. I'm just trying to decide if I'm going to try to go for 36 tomorrow and try to go over on the old. You know, being by myself, it's usually not a problem getting out there.
Yeah, what about that caddy that you normally have at St. Andrews? Going to be on the bags, or is she no longer around?
No, I had dinner with them tonight. She's going off in the morning, so I won't see her in the morning.
Well, that's too bad about that. I feel sorry. I mean, to play the Jubilee course and you can't have your favorite caddy. I mean, you're putting me on the edge of tears.
Well, you know, I'd hate to do that, Bob. It would really bother me to do that. So let's just move on. Hopefully you can suck it up and get through the rest of this show.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the Greenbrier, where they just finished the Greenbrier Classic. Certainly a fantastic place. I remember, Alex, the first time I went there was for the Solheim Cup. But there was a little excursion early in the week before the event started that took me to a nearby 9-hole golf course where the mowing system were nothing but goats and sheep. and they had gutta perch balls, hickory shafted clubs. You had to use sand for your tees. And I got to watch Sam Snead play with Karsten Solheim. They put on a little exhibition for nine holes, and then we got an opportunity to play after them. But I still think back, wow, Sam Snead, Karsten Solheim, that was a thrill.
Yeah, it was. That golf course actually got purchased by Jim Justice at the Greenbrier. So the Greenbrier owns that property now, too.
And they still have the goats mow the fairways?
Can't answer that question. I don't know. It depends on how much money Justice has.
Well, he got a little bit less because he had to give away some today. We'll talk about that in a little while. But the Greenbrier, certainly rich in history, and just hearing some of the things about Sam Snead, people may be amazed to know that he made 33 hole-in-ones in his career. But the thing that is special, the last one that Sam Snead ever made came on the 18th hole at the Old White, and he was 84 years old and still made a hole-in-one. Pretty impressive stuff. What we're going to do now, Alex, when we come back, we're going to go around the world of golf, and we'll be starting out at the Greenbrier Classic.
You're listening to The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses.
The outside light and weather change. Your sunglasses should too. Transitions Adaptive Sunglass Lenses change their level of darkness depending on the light outside to enhance your vision during golf and other outdoor activities. Partnered with Callaway, Oakley, and Nike, Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses increase contrast, improve distance and depth perception, and reduce distracting glare so you can see the game you love even better. Visit transitions.com/sunwear to learn more and buy a pair today.
The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses.
All right, as promised, we're back on U.S. soil and the PGA Tour. Time to talk about the Greenbrier Classic. Good friend of ours comes out on top, Angel Cabrera, his third win on the PGA Tour, the other two being major championships. I doubt going into this week that there were ever was ever a player that had two majors on his resume and not a single other event on the PGA Tour. You buy that?
No, I buy that. I buy that. It's you know Seve Ballesteros. Well, I mean, he did win. He won two majors in the U.S. Did he win anything other than those majors?
Boy, you bring up a great name. I do not remember Seve Ballesteros winning an event in the United States, but I know this much with the great listeners that we have on TuneIn Radio. If somebody knows it, they'll be able to drop us an email. We'll give you that address a little later on and let us know if Seve. But I think that's very good, Alex. That's pretty amazing, Seve Ballesteros winning two majors and never winning on the U.S. Tour, that's for sure. All right, let's talk about Angel Cabrera. Pretty impressive win. Started the day two shots behind Billy Hurley. A lot of people, obviously, on 4th of July weekend may have been rooting for Billy Hurley, who went to the Naval Academy, served 4 years in the Navy, and then got his card and now is pursuing a career as a PGA Tour professional. His wife Heather and three children, so he has to make some money. Not a good day for Billy Hurley, but a great day for Angel Cabrera and our good friend who was right with him the whole way. You know that I'm talking about Charlie Epps.
Right. Well, before we even get to Charlie, let's clear up something. I was sitting here in St. Andrews, which is where all the Seve Ballesteros information is, and actually Seve won nine times on the U.S. Tour. If you take the Open Championships out, it's six. It included Westchester and New Orleans and also at the Greensboro Open. So he had won four times, and then you got the two Masters. So he won more than that. So that wouldn't qualify him. But getting back to Charlie Epps, who when I saw him last time, is when Angel, I think, didn't make the cut at the U.S. Open at Pinehurst. I said, so when am I going to see you on the when I'm going to see you next? He goes, well, if I don't get fired, it will be. So obviously Charlie hasn't been fired, and I'm assuming maybe even gets a raise after this win. An impressive win by Cabrera, because he has really been struggling mightily for a while, even though he played well in Argentina at the end of last year. Just has really been struggling. He had some health issues in regards to his shoulder, I think it was. Thought that there might be some surgery involved. Then they decided not to. Finally got that taken care of, but he was still struggling with his game. And obviously a win does a lot for a guy like that, who has won a lot over the course of his career worldwide, but not as much in the United States. But seems to win big events on difficult golf courses, which we will be participating in just a couple weeks when we get the Royal Liverpool and the Open Championship.
Yeah, that probably puts Angel Cabrera in pretty good state of mind, I would think, going over to Hoylake and trying to win the Open Championship to go along with his U.S. Open title and his Masters green jacket. He'd have three legs on that Grand Slam. And playing the way he played this past week, you got to consider him a factor at Hoylake.
Well, I think you have to consider him a factor because he's got his game back. Even if he hadn't won, I think you'd have to take a serious look at him because of the way he played coming down the stretch and the ability that he has to hit the ball a long way, which I think will benefit him well. This is not going to be the hard and fast golf course that you might have seen or remember seeing when Tiger Woods won the Open Championship there with an iron in his hand. This is going to be a much different golf course when we get there in a couple of weeks. And Cabrera put in a brand new G30, which was just released, a new G30 ping driver. And I think he had the fairway wood in as well. And, if you like a club that much, to go ahead and use it in an event and then turn around and win with it, I mean, it creates so much positiveness for you. I remember talking to the guys at Fit Clubs. They said, if I give somebody a new club and after the first or second swing, the ball's not going the way they want to, that club, that's forget it. That's over with. And so to be able to take a club that you feel comfortable with, brand new, and go ahead and play with it and then win with it, it's going to be a long time before that club's going to be coming out of the bag.
Well, you're right about that, Alex. And also, Angel Cabrera coming down the stretch at Greenbrier. There's several holes kind of tight, water coming into play, and yet he would take that driver and just boom it down into the fairway, hitting drives 320, 330, and doing it with confidence, as you said. I mean, for a brand-new club, coming down the stretch on a Sunday afternoon, narrow fairway out there, water lurking on the right side and heavy rough on the left, and to find the fairway, that says a lot about the equipment that he put into play.
Right, and I think, you just can't you can't discount how impressive that can be to a person, thinking about that, realizing they can just go up there and go after it and not have to worry about it. I was looking at the most recent odds I have going into the Open Championship, would have been last week's odds, and Cabrera is 100-1 last week going into the Open Championship with Rory McIlroy and Adam Scott dual favorites at 12-1. So if you could get 100-1 money on Monday here in the U.K., and Angel Cabrera winning the Open Championship, I think you have to take that money.
Oh, put some down for me. Put a few pounds down, and then I'll see how Angel goes. If he's going good, I'll buy the ticket from you. If he gets off to a bad start, you could keep it.
I expected nothing less from you, Bob, than that.
Well, expecting things from an event, a lot went on at Greenbrier. Besides the winner, of course, let's mention our Ryder Cup captain. Less than 80 days now before the Ryder Cup goes to Glen Eagles in Scotland on the 26th of September. But Tom Watson made the cut again, this time doing it at age 64. Pretty impressive performance by Mr. Watson.
Well, it was, because if you just look at the rest of the guys that were in the field, it wasn't a bad field, and the guys that he beat, it's just shocking to me that that Tom Watson continues to play that kind of game. And what is a difficult golf course? He shot 71, 68, 68, 69. There's not a lot of guys that had three rounds in the 60s. I don't care how old they were. And Sean Stefani, who just won the other day, tied Watson. But if you look down at all the guys that couldn't best Tom Watson at his age, it's really shocking. I'm not going to say I would be embarrassed with those guys because I'm not, but I mean it is shocking that Tom Watson can still show up and play that kind of golf at 64 years old.
And we got some good news out of the RNA, Alex, I'm sure. You may have missed it in transition over the pond, but Tom Watson has been given an extension to play in the Open Championship next year. So he'll be playing and competing in his last Open at St. Andrews, following in the footsteps of Jack Nicklaus and Arnold Palmer, who did the same thing years ago. But great to know in advance we're going to have Tom Watson at St. Andrews in next year's Open Championship.
You know, I have to ask you, it's always surprising to me the way the USGA handles their championships. The RNA seems to do it right. They do whatever's necessary to create that interest, to create that buzz around their event, make sure that their former champions like a Tom Watson or a Jack Nicklaus or an Arnold Palmer get that due as well as benefit from it for the championship. The USGA does nothing like that. And then, you know, you got this whole situation going on now where every week is kind of like a playoff to get into the Open Championship. Why wouldn't the USGA do that? I just think it's so much better. It gives the event so much more a promotion and build up than what we have going on with a Monday 36-hole qualifier. It's just, to me, it's just a much better way of doing things.
Well, I agree with you, and of course, there's still some confusion. We take the case of Eric Compton finishing second or tied for second, I should say, at our United States Open down at Pinehurst, and that did not get him a spot into the Open Championship. Whereas, if somebody finished in the top 12. And not already previously exempt in last week's congressional and this week here at Greenbrier, they got in. By the way, the four guys that benefited from that adjustment, Alex, George McNeil, Cameron Tringali, Billy Hurley, all made it to play in 2 weeks at Hoylake. And you know, congratulations to Billy Hurley for getting in. George McNeil, that's going to be kind of iffy. Unfortunately, he played today with a very heavy heart. His older sister, Michelle, really struggling with some medical issues right now, and George didn't know what to do, whether he should have played or not.
Well, I mean, obviously there was nothing that George McNeil could do in regards to his sister Michelle, who actually passed away during the round of cancer. But you have to live your life. George McNeil was in a situation that was career altering for him. The chance to not win a golf tournament, a chance to go to the Open Championship, and there was nothing that George McNeil could have done on Sunday for his sister. So, I mean, most people would say maybe that's not what you should do. I think that's exactly what you have to do. And I think his sister would have wanted him to continue to play, knowing that there was absolutely nothing he could have done if he would have gone down to Florida, which he's on his way to now. He'll skip next week, and then he'll prepare himself. After spending the week with his family, he'll jump on a plane and he'll fly to the Open Championship at Liverpool. But certainly difficult for George McNeil to be able to even play in those conditions, because it's clear that this has been an ongoing problem for his sister Michelle.
Yeah, my apologies to the McNeil family. I had not been alerted to the fact that she had passed away, but I'm glad that he'll have this week to spend some time with his family exactly where he wants to be. Kind of one other thing before we put a bow tie on the Greenbrier Classic, Alex, Jim Justice had decided that he'd make it a little interesting for the fans at the 18th hole, the par 3, an unusual finishing hole to say the least. But if anybody makes a hole-in-one, he gives $100 to everybody in the grandstands around the 18th green. Bud Cauley accomplished that today, or actually yesterday. You're listening to this show on Monday on TuneIn Radio. And Bud Cauley playing with Tom Watson. So he not only makes a hole-in-one, but gets a handshake from Tom Watson. Pretty impressive. And Jim Justice, true to his word, called one of his people, and they came with a bag full of $100 bills, and he went out and gave every individual there $100 bill, and had a second hole in one occurred, it'd have been $500, and if a third one had occurred, it'd have been $1,000. Pretty neat tradition that they got going at the Greenbrier.
No, absolutely. It's interesting because he doesn't have a sponsor. I mean, he's the sponsor, so he's the one footing the bill for the whole thing. And I know Jim Justice has quite a bit of money, but still, you would think at some point he'd get a sponsor. But not only does he not have a sponsor, now he's handing out $100 bills. I'll tell you, it must be something in the water in West Virginia, because it doesn't seem like that's happening in the other 49 states.
You're right about that, Big Jim. Pretty deep pockets. I'll tell you what, time for us to take a little break. We got a lot more golf to talk about that happened other places in the world. Certainly not a good Sunday for young Kevin Stadler. We'll tell you that story when we return to the Grill Room.
The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Sight is one of our most valued senses. Many cherished memories and important life lessons are acquired through sight. Through the Transitions Healthy Sight for Life Fund, we're reaching out in communities around the world to help people understand and protect their healthy sight. Think about what you'd miss seeing if you lost your eyesight tomorrow, and take steps to protect your vision today. See more at HealthySightForLife.org.
I was in my lawyer's office the other day. He must be a listener of the Grill Room, believe it or not. He had an old course map on his office wall. He framed it nicely, and it really looked great. And yes, he did buy it at oldcoursemap.com. because that's the only place it can be purchased. It's a beautiful, distinctive map of the Old Course, New Course, and 8 holes of the Jubilee Course of St. Andrews. Originally published in 1898. OldCourseMap.com. See for yourself. It certainly will look great in your office or den. You can go to OldCourseMap.com.
Welcome back to the Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
Okay, we're back. I'm Bob. He's Alex. Time now to talk about what transpired on the European Tour. They played the French Open. Graham McDowell was defending champion. Did you like his chances going into Sunday? He was only 8 shots back of Kevin Stadler. And then when Kevin Stadler misses a real short putt on the very last hole, Graham McDowell defends his title. Pretty impressive stuff. By Graham McDowell. Not too nice, obviously, for Kevin Stadler. Let's give a listen to what he said. He tells us he figured out a way to lose.
A little bizarre to be so far under par early and not be able to finish off like that, but if you would have given me a second place coming over here, I would have taken it in a heartbeat. You know, it was played good in spurts, and obviously struggled today in the rain, but that's just it's the way it is. You know, I drove it great the first couple days and had tons of chances, and spent all day in the knee-deep stuff today, and obviously the score showed. It was so miserable on the front nine today that, I mean, I was practically expecting to bogey every hole. It was virtually impossible. And just hung in there and obviously made a couple birdies late to have a chance. And just unfortunate on the last, I played a little safe second shot, and, you know, I felt good over the putt and just whiffed it, unfortunately.
Pretty tough when you miss a short putt like that to lose. But we got to give a Grill Room salute to Kevin Stadler. Certainly 2014's been the best year of his professional career.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, first of all, you have to think of the fact when he came there, the idea that he could win the golf tournament probably was not in anybody's mind. He was showing up, and now all of a sudden he's got a chance to win, and it just doesn't happen. But first of all, he's right. You can't drive the ball there terribly because the rough is different. This is where they're going to have the Ryder Cup 18?
Exactly.
And it's not an easy golf course, as you can see by the numbers. So that's the first thing. You can't drive the ball poorly. And then secondly, there's a reason why the guy's got a broomstick putter, for goodness sakes. And, that putt to many would not have been a problem. That putt to Kevin Stadler has been a problem for his entire career, which is the reason why he's using a long putter.
Yeah, it's a very difficult golf course, as you mentioned. But when it's clear, you actually can see the Eiffel Tower from the golf course. Makes it kind of interesting. All right, now, what about Graham McDowell? He tells us he's figured out how to hang in there.
Very special, you know. It means a lot of things to me. It means, my first defense of a title. My first... sort of multiple win of a European Tour event. Came back from seven shots behind or eight shots behind wherever I was this morning. So, just kind of proves a lot of things to me. You know, sometimes you got to hang in this game. You really don't know what's around the corner. I've learned that a few times the hard way in my life, in my career. You know, playing with Adam Scott at the Open Championship a couple of years ago at Lytham. If I'd have had the peace of mind to hang in there, perhaps I had an opportunity. And today... in those kind of conditions, I mean, having the peace of mind to hang in there and hit the shots and kind of give it the who knows attitude, paid off today. And I've got to bank those feelings and those thoughts and take them forward.
Very deep words there by Graham McDowell, because really so true. I mean, anybody that plays this golf, whether you're playing in your club championship or just a little friendly $5 Nassau with your next door neighbor, you get behind a little bit, you got to learn to hang in there. And that's exactly the lesson that Graham McDowell told us that he learned. Interesting to note, Alex, that they had 29 events on the European Tour this year. They've had 28 different winners. You talk about a wide open tour.
Well, that's right, and that's why the Ryder Cup is so difficult to determine who's going to be on the team. You know, outside of Stenson and DeBuisson, it's pretty much of a crapshoot. But to go back to McDowell for a second, I mean, this is how he wins golf tournaments on difficult golf courses where the score isn't very high, where you don't have to go very low, and he just hangs in there and perseveres. That's why I think you won't see him win at a Masters. You probably won't see him win an Open Championship unless it's very difficult conditions. That's why he loves playing U.S. Opens, because the U.S. Open allows him to play his game without having to play somebody else's game. And this is exactly what he did Sunday. He played his game, not somebody else's game, and he was the guy standing on top at the end.
Important to note too, Alex, he becomes the second player from Northern Ireland to win 10 or more times on the European Tour. Darren Clarke with 14 wins. All right, time to talk a little bit about the Champions Tour and the LPGA Tour. They didn't play this week, but they got some big action coming up this week. You got the U.S. Senior Open, and you got the Women's British Open. We'll talk about that later in the show. On the web.com tour, some weather-related problems there. We hope to get you an update before we finish the show. Time now to mention Focus on Vision, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses. Dr. Keith Smithson, a sports vision specialist, says your vision may be the most important club in your bag. We'll hear that when we return.
You're listening to The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses.
The light changes, the lens changes. It's as simple as that. Nike and Transitions Optical have collaborated to create a new lens technology that is both responsive to light and specifically engineered to sport performance. Nike Max Transitions Golf Tint Sunglasses will help improve contour recognition on the golf course and increase ball pop. You'll literally see your game in a whole new light. Buy a pair today at Nike.com.
Welcome back to The Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
All right, we're back in The Grill Room. I'm on the other side of the pond here in Scotland, St. Andrews. I'm Alex Maselli, Bob Bubka back there in the United States. And we're going to talk a little more about golf in a second, but let's talk about Focus on Vision, which is presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses, equipment for a visual advantage. Dr. Keith Smithson, a sports vision specialist, says your vision may be the most important club in your bag.
The most important tool in your bag probably isn't in your bag, so If we're not seeing the greens properly, if we're not reading the course properly from a visual standpoint, then we can use any club in the bag and still have the undesirable results. But in a sport like golf, which is obviously visually demanding and has a lot of other visually demanding important qualities, you know, some of the other things that we look at are things like depth perception and the way that we actually pinpoint targets, you know, looking at the pin location on the green and being able to truly and accurately assess where that is. You know, we all have range finders and things this way that help us with that, but can we read the sloping properly? Are we going to get the backspin on the ball right? You know, we're looking at depth perception and muscular components and, you know, some of the other things with contrast enhancement and being able to see and read shadowing on greens. And, yeah, you know, I mean, to me, that's one of the most challenging factors in the sport of golf. So it's very difficult sometimes to have someone walk out with a pair of glasses, let's say their sunglasses, and they're a solid standard tint that's the same consistently across the board, meaning that it doesn't change. So the problem with the round of golf over that wide variable lighting condition is that if the lens itself doesn't change, then we're stuck with looking through a consistent tint when that may not be the right thing to do. So the nice thing about transition technology is transition lenses actually darken and lighten based on UV light exposure. So as we're outside playing around the golf, if the sun and clouds, you know, do vary through that round, if the clouds are coming over, if it's sort of an overcast day and we're getting a lot of shadowing and things that way, then what happens is the lens itself is actually a lighter shade of tint, so it's closer to being clear. As the UV comes back out, as the lens is actually activated from that UV lighting, there's photochromic crystals in the lens that actually do activate. There's now even a polarized state that lens can go into. So there's a lot of things that that lens does to actually vary based on the lighting conditions. So when we're under those brightest conditions, the lens is at its darkest and doing the most sun filtration. If the bright light is now at its least, now we have that lens at a much more gradual or much more you know, gradient sort of tint. So it's a wonderful product, and it works great for the game of golf.
Our thanks to Dr. Smithson. He certainly studied the effects of how changing light conditions can affect your performance on the course. Transitions, adaptive sunglasses, indeed, equipment for a visual advantage. And, Bob, I can tell you that I've needed them in Scotland already.
Yeah, that's one thing about playing in Scotland, Alex, and you bring up a great point. You know, the light there changes. It could be sunny. It could be cloudy. And that's all in the span of about 10 minutes.
Well, when I was playing today, it was less than even 10 minutes, but it's always good to have something that adjusts quickly, and that's what these sunglasses do. Transitions, adaptive sunglasses, certainly equipment for a visual advantage and one that I needed today and will need during the 2 weeks that I'm here. But the other things I'll need is some golf fitness, and I know we've had an opportunity to spend some time with Joey D. Joey D is a golf fitness specialist. He's done some great stuff with different players on the PGA Tour. And so let's take our tip from the best this week, Joey D.
The three things you should pay most attention to in the human golf body. That is, keep your head still, keep your eye on the ball, and make sure you turn clearly around your spine. So those three tips alone, if you were vigilant about them and you were very committed, you would start to feel and understand why you do a better job of making contact when your head stays quiet, because the human head weighs about 8 pounds. And once the kinetic chain or the patterns of movement change, the body will usually follow where the head goes. So when you see touring professionals in the sequence of the golf swing, you will notice that they never move their eyes off the ball or their head stays completely focused on the target. And they're actually, their body, their arms, their chest, their shoulders, their pelvis, their everything starts moving through the ball after the point of contact. But their head is usually, that delay happens because they're focusing on what happens with the body, not leading with the head, which causes you to sway off the ball. And once you do that, now you're fighting to stay back in balance. Make sure your golf body shows up in your golf swing, and you will find that you're much more consistent with awareness of how you get that club to move efficiently. Use the muscles you're supposed to, and you will find you will have so much more success in consistency getting that club face squared to the ball. Coach Joey D in Jupiter, Florida, we teach basically the fundamentals of biomechanics, which is basically how the human body works with the golf swing.
Our thanks to Joey D for his tips on how to achieve better golf fitness and enjoy the game more. There are plenty of fantastic golf fitness videos on the joeydgolf.com website. And there's even a free golf fitness ebook waiting for you to download. Visit joeydgolf.com. Time now to take a break. When we come back, we're going to go to Alex's favorite, and that's called News and Notes.
The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Want to improve your golf game? Improve your vision. Callaway and Transitions Optical have created Callaway Neox Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses, designed to enhance visual performance while playing golf. They automatically adjust color and darkness, sharpen depth perception, and offer superior clarity. You'll have more accurate distance vision and be better able to see the terrain and contours all day, regardless of weather and light conditions. Buy Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses at CallawayGolf.com or learn where to get a pair in your prescription at transitions.com/sunwear/Neox.
Welcome back to the Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
All right, welcome back to the Grill Room. We certainly appreciate you taking some time out, tuning us up on TuneIn Radio. We have a lot of fun bringing you up to date on what's happening in the world of golf. Let's begin news and notes, Alex. Steve Stricker, some talk. He may miss the British Open, or the Open Championship, I should say. I know you wrote about it a couple of weeks back. What do you have for us?
Well, you know, Bob, it was interesting. When I talked to Stricker after he was done with the U.S. Open, he said he was going to skip the Open Championship. He said he was going to have Nicky on the bag at Greenbrier, that he was going to add because Jimmy Johnson had gone ahead and committed to Chris Kirk that he would carry his bag. It's one of these things where Jimmy didn't know that Steve was going to commit. Steve decided to make that commitment, and in turn, he was going to skip the Open Championship. And I said to him, I said, well, what about Ryder Cup? He goes, I don't want to change my schedule for the Ryder Cup. I want to play, and, you know, this is what I want to do. So then all of a sudden at Greenbrier, there's this conversation going on about he might decide to go ahead and play the Open Championship. So I texted him. I said, Steve, what's the deal? He goes, well, I was thinking about this and that, but I haven't decided. And after his round on Sunday, which was not a very good round, I think it was four over, I've texted him but didn't hear back. I would guess that he doesn't know himself, to be quite honest with you. He still has time to commit. I think that he wants to see how he's playing. You know, it's not hard for him to make the trip because right from John Deere, there's a plane that flies right over to the Open Championship. So he would have no problem with, you know, having to worry about transportation. And if he's got his passport with him, which I'm sure he does, I'm sure he's still hemming and hawing about it. But it wouldn't surprise me if he, in fact, made the trip. I would think that he must have talked to Tom Watson, at Greenbrier, just a little at least. And I think the dilemma that Tom Watson has is that you have a player like Steve Stricker who is ranked very highly in the world rankings but ranked very poorly in the FedEx Cup points, which means what he did this year. So how do you leave off maybe the number five or six Americans in the world rankings off of your team if you have to make him a captain's pick? And I think these are the things that he's got to think about. And Stricker would not be helping himself or helping Tom Watson if he doesn't make the trip to the Open Championship.
And Alex, wouldn't you agree that Steve Stricker being part of the United States Ryder Cup team maybe a little bit added importance in this go round because you know there's going to be several first timers that are going to be playing Ryder Cup for the first time, and Steve Stricker is the type of player not only gets along with players in the locker room, he's very easy to play with out on the golf course. Steve Stricker could be a very important cog in Tom Watson's game plan if he performs.
Well, I mean, I think anybody's an important cog if they perform, and I think that's been the problem. If you looked at Stricker's record 2 years ago at Medina, it was abysmal, and I think that he really wanted to make amends for that, so that's why he was glad he made the President's Cup team. But, you know, I don't put as much stock as I used to in the fact that if you get a rookie out there, what's going to happen? I mean, Patrick Reed is going to be Patrick Reed no matter what. Jimmy Walker is going to be Jimmy Walker no matter what. And in Jimmy Walker's case, know, he's not a young guy. He's in his third and mid 30s, so I don't think it's going to bother him. What I do think is important, though, is that there may be guys that need stability, even though they played the Ryder Cup before. One guy I could think of off the top of my head is Bubba Watson. I mean, I think the reason why we lost the Ryder Cup in part was because Bubba Watson and Webb Simpson crumbled so early on in the singles on Sunday. They didn't have anybody to fall back on. Those guys worked together so well when they were playing together, but then when they were out there on their own, they didn't have anybody to kind of support them. And I think Bubba Watson can need somebody like a Steve Stricker to kind of get him through 3 days of the Ryder Cup. And I think Bubba Watson could be a very, very important part of a Watson Ryder Cup because of the fact that he's so long and can take advantage of this golf course, which is probably going to be a little soggy. So I think in that way, Stricker would be important. But, you know, if Stricker's not playing well, I don't care how old he is and how much experience he's got, we don't need an anchor. We need somebody out there that can go out there and shoot some numbers. And if we can get that guy, I'd rather have that guy than Steve Stricker.
Yeah, and as much as it pains me to agree with you, you know, everybody that's ever played the Ryder Cup, they all were a rookie at one time. I mean, the first time you play it, you're a rookie, and I don't think that prohibits you from playing well. All right, put your golf clubs down for a minute, despite the fact that you're at St. Andrews. Put your lawyer's suit on and bring our listeners up to date. Graham McDowell has been dragged into McIlroy's legal battle with Horizon Sports. Anything you can shed some light on?
Well, I don't think there was any question that at some point GMAC was going to be involved in this. He's very, very close to Connor Ridge, who owns Horizon Sports, or owns certainly a large or controlling interest in Horizon Sports. And when I talked to Connor at the U.S. Open, it has just been something that's been all-consuming for him. And now it looks like this is going to go on probably into the beginning of next year. And which, again, is going to be a very difficult situation. GMAC is going to be involved because of the fact that there was some discussion. Supposedly Rory did certain things or was unhappy about certain things because of how GMAC was treated, which is not unusual because GMAC left Chubby Chandler because he felt like he wasn't being treated the same way as some of the other guys as well. So none of this surprises you. I think what surprises me is that it's getting such play not only in Europe, but in the United States. I mean, the bottom line is I don't think Rory sat there and plotted out ways to make life difficult for GMAC. It just doesn't make any sense. Just like I don't think Vijay Singh thought of ways to plot things out to make it difficult for the PGA Tour. There's a normal progression in these legal issues, and this is how they sometimes come out. And sometimes they don't come out in the best way or timing isn't the best. But the bottom line is that Rory does not seem to be that kind of person. However, there is no question he was very unhappy with the way he felt like he was treated compared to GMAC and never thought that he would get the same, the same attention as GMAC. GMAC will be brought into this thing. GMAC will eventually probably have to testify. But at the end of the day, this is another 6 months or 7 months of dragging out a legal issue between Rory McIlroy and Horizon Sports. And even when it's done, I don't think anybody's going to be very happy with the outcome.
Well, I know the lawyers will be happy because they just put that clock on whenever they open their mouth. It's great for the grill room that we have a lawyer on our team. We talked already about Tom Watson going to be finishing his Open championship career at St. Andrews. A couple of new venues, venues have been announced, I should say, for 17 and 18. And boy, oh boy, pretty lofty pair, Alex Royal Birkdale in 17, Carnoustie in 18. How do you get better than that?
Well, you know, I think probably if you ask anyone, the most sentimental place to play is St. Andrews for an Open championship. But the probably maybe the most difficult test of all of them is it might be Royal Birkdale, the way it's been changed over the years. I know Carnoustie has always been Carnoustie, but both those courses are certainly stern tests and great champions come out of them. So I think it's great to have both of them back, you know, named as venues we're going to, because quite honestly, when I was at Birkdale last year and I was talking to the head pro, you know, he had the Senior Open there, and now they're having the Women's Open there, and he was a little concerned that he hadn't been named yet and wasn't sure when it was going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it did happen, and this next thing happened too, and he's a good friend of ours, so I know when he says something, he absolutely means it. Donald Trump has purchased Turnberry, and it's going to be called Trump Turnberry, and Donald said, and when Donald says it, you know it's true, he said, "I'm not doing it for ego. I'm doing it because it's going to make the place more successful."
I want to add something to what we talked about earlier, Bob, before I talked about Donald Trump. I just got an email, or rather a text message from Steve Stricker indicating that he has not made a decision on if he's going to go to the Open or not, with a little smiley face. So obviously he's unclear. He's still on the fence. It's exactly what I thought he'd be, because he's just got to go kind of figure it out and see what he thinks is best. But he will be playing at John Deere this week, and we'll see what happens from there. You know what? This isn't inconsistent with anything that Donald Trump has done in regards to Turnberry. It doesn't surprise me. I'd expect nothing less. Unfortunately, and I would say this to Donald if he asked me, this just means that we're going to lose another decent logo to a logo that I would never put on a shirt. I mean, that crest thing is just bizarre.
Well, he also may want to take another look at purchasing these places in Scotland. There was a photograph that came from the other side of the pond, and the windy conditions in Scotland, that whatever it is on top of his head, I don't want to call it a toupee. I don't know if it's a wig or if it's his natural hair, but it almost blew away. So he may cut back on those Scottish purchases. All right, we need the lawyer again. Lawyer, where are you? Conflict brewing between the PGA Tour and Association of Professional Caddies. Caddies getting a little frisky, but boy, oh boy, I don't know if they want to do battle with the PGA Tour.
Well, you know what, Bob? The PGA Tour hasn't been so successful in court over its tenure. I think this is something that'll get resolved, because it only makes sense to resolve it if you're the PGA Tour with the amount of money you have. The issues are clear that this new group that is involved with the professional caddies, they want to be treated a little differently. They want some benefits. And, you know, people don't understand. These guys, their life sounds glamorous, but it's not. It's a job, and that's the end of the day. That's what this is. It's a job, and they're asking for benefits that a lot of people that are full-time get as well, health care, things of that nature. And they also feel like they shouldn't be taken advantage of. These are guys that can't wear certain shoes because the colors supposedly are too intense for the PGA Tour. So, I mean, there's a lot of rules that need to be addressed. The players, to a man, individually will laugh at some of the rules, but collectively don't do anything about it. And I think it'll be one of those situations where the players will probably have to stand up and force the issue a little. But at the end of the day, I think the caddies will come to some kind of an accommodation with the PGA Tour, because it makes no sense to be having these two groups fighting each other.
Well, you said it very well. It certainly appears to be a very glamorous job when you view it on television and you hear some reports of the amount of money that they make. What the TV viewer doesn't see is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, they're out there charting the golf course, getting the hole locations, and all the work they do, staying with their player on the range a lot of times for a lot of hours. And they're a great bunch of guys, and they really add to professional golf, and I hope they certainly get some of the things that they want. Speaking of getting what you want, the big question is going to be, does Tom Watson get Tiger Woods? And everybody wants to know that. So what did we do? We asked Tom Watson on Tiger's chances. Here's what Captain Watson told us.
I'll be watching Tiger as he plays. He'll be playing at the Open Championship. I hope to get together with him there and you know, tell him my feelings about him and direct, because I've said it in front of the press. If he's playing well and he's healthy, he's on the team. If he's not, yeah, right now he's, you know, he's way down the list as far as points. But who wouldn't pick Tiger Woods to be on your Ryder Cup team? That's my question to everybody. Who wouldn't pick him?
Let me ask you this, Alex. You know, the one thing, you know, It's hard for me to say, as people that are very familiar with the Grill Room know that I've been a staunch supporter of Tiger Woods for the longest time. But when I hear that, you know, he's possibly only going to be playing three more events this year, the Open Championship, Bridgestone at Firestone there, and then the PGA Championship at Valhalla, That's not sending a message out that I really want to be on this Ryder Cup team. I don't know. Am I right in recognizing a possible indication of less desire on the part of Tiger Woods?
Well, first of all, Tiger has to get his game in shape. And though Tom Watson is saying all the right things, clearly, you know, there's no reason for him to say anything other than what he said. It all comes down to how Tiger's playing. And I think that at the end of the day, it's going to be Tiger Woods that decides if he should be or shouldn't be on that team, and not by how he's playing, but he will come to Tom Watson and tell him, or he will come out in public and say, I am not ready to play on the Ryder Cup team. And I don't think if he plays in three events or 30 events between now and the Ryder Cup will any of that change. He knows if he can or can't go. And I agree with you that he's not showing it by not playing. But at the same time, you know, I don't think that Tiger going out and playing seven events, I mean, he could actually literally play the Scottish this week or John Deere. He could play the Open Championship. He could play Canada. He could play Bridgestone. He could play the PGA. Then he could turn around. If he gets into the FedEx Cup playoffs, he could play the first two. And will that show Tom Watson he wants to be on the team? What happens if he goes and plays in those and he plays poorly? Are we going to say, well, he tried, but, you know, I don't know what you say in that case. All I know is that he needs to do what he needs to do to get himself in the best shape possible to try to play this year. And I don't want anybody to change their schedule, and I don't think anybody should change their schedule when they're coming off an injury to try to get on the Ryder Cup team.
Well, one thing I will say about Tiger not playing this week, he had a planned vacation with his two children. I admire him for taking that time to spend time with them. I can remember, golly, Alex, I don't know, somewhere 10, 15 years ago, and Jack Nicklaus made the statement and didn't leave any doubt in the minds of all of us that were listening, that, you know, things are going to change when Tiger becomes a father, that there are other priorities that are going to come into play, and it makes it harder to just focus entirely on golf. Jack Nicklaus certainly hit the nail on the head. Kudos to Tiger. Hope he enjoys that vacation. What we got to do, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to wrap things up by telling you what's next on the schedule in the world of professional golf.
You're listening to The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses.
Sight is one of our most valued senses. Many cherished memories and important life lessons are acquired through sight. Through the Transitions Healthy Sight for Life Fund, we're reaching out in communities around the world to help people understand and protect their healthy sight. Think about what you'd miss seeing if you lost your eyesight tomorrow, and take steps to protect your vision today. See more at healthysightforlife.org.
The light changes, the lens changes. It's as simple as that. Nike and Transitions Optical have collaborated to create a new lens technology that is both responsive to light and specifically engineered to sport performance. Nike Max Transitions Golf Tint Sunglasses will help improve contour recognition on the golf course and increase ball pop. You'll literally see your game in a whole new light. Buy a pair today at Nike.com.
The Grill Room with Alex the Sizzle Maselli and Bob the Steak Bubka continues right now.
All right, what's next on the schedule? That's what's on the Grill Room next. And first up, Bobby, the European Tour Aberdeen Asset Management Scottish Open at Royal Aberdeen Golf Club. Phil Mickelson defending. I'm just going to say this right up front. Most of these guys have no idea what they're getting themselves into by going to Royal Aberdeen, but it is going to be maybe, potentially, more difficult than playing at Royal Liverpool.
Well, it certainly is a very difficult golf course, and we have to give some kudos to our executive producer, Janice Self, winning a golf event up there in her prior lifetime. And I know Royal Aberdeen, Alex, not too far from another great spot that you love in Scotland, Cruden Bay. If I had to bet money, I bet maybe you're going to be able to slip down there and get a round in.
Yes, I am. I'm not going to say with who, but I am going to be down there, and I'm going to go over to Trump as well. And if I get a chance, I'm going to go to Merkur. How's that?
Holy mackerel. You're making me jealous. And of course, enjoy Cruden Bay. It really is a very, very special place. And don't forget, when you walk in that clubhouse, look up on the wall under the list of club champions, you'll see the name Janice Self there, which I remember distinctly going there the first time. We went way out of our way that I had to walk past that sign immediately upon arrival at Cruden Bay, but it is a great golf course. They got a good one here in the States too, Alex. You know, the John Deere, you know, those people there, they work so hard and they go way out of their way putting on a great event. We got Jordan Spieth defending. Zach Johnson's going to be playing there. Of course, he's a member of the John Deere Classic board. But don't you agree with me that, you know, the people behind the scenes at John Deere certainly do everything in their power to make the event enjoyable for any of the professionals that choose to play in it?
Well, it's a great event, really. It serves a purpose. It gets them, you know, the PGA Tour out to places that normally they wouldn't go to. Deere is a great sponsor, very supportive of what's going on in golf, and it's a huge place to go. If you've ever been to TPC Deere Run, it's a great venue with a lot of people coming out and following the golf. And then obviously it was a big thing last year with Jordan Spieth winning and then going ahead and coming over to the Open Championship. It'll be interesting to see what he does this year. He's not, I think it's fair to say, had the season that he has been hoping for, but that could change. He's played well, but not well enough to win. It's a pretty good field. I'm not going to say, you know, we didn't really get a chance to talk about the field that's going to be playing at in Aberdeen. But if you look at that field with, you know, Mickelson obviously defending, and then Ricky Fowler and Jimmy Walker and Sir Nick Faldo and Kevin Stadler, who just missed out this week in France, and Henrik Stenson, and then you get Poulter and Luke Donald, Els, Westwood, Harrington, and Oosthuizen. That's a pretty good field. The field, I'm not going to say, is as good a deer, but you know what? It doesn't matter because they tee them up. Whoever wins, you know, gets a two-year exemption and over $1 million. And gets in pretty good position for FedEx Cup playoff. So, I mean, every week is a big week on the PGA Tour. And obviously this week is going to be special because we're going to see what's going to happen with some of these guys, including Stricker, who's going to make the trip over to Royal Liverpool.
And I think our Grow Room listeners, Alex, be surprised that one of the big happenings at the John Deere, believe it or not, they call it the Big Dig, and it takes place on Tuesday night, where players and their family get an opportunity to climb up behind the wheel of these bulldozers and move some earth around. So many players have a great time doing that. And then I think when they came up with that idea several years ago, where they have a charter that goes right to Royal Liverpool for those that are in the Open Championship, and a reverse charter bringing them back to the Canadian Open, I think that was a stroke of genius on the folks at John Deere, and that has made the event a lot more attractive to a lot of players.
Sure has, and obviously a big deal because then it turns around and goes to Canadian Open, which will be the week after the Open Championship. Hey, Bob, Webb.com this week is the Utah Championship presented by Zions Bank. Steven Alker is defending. But I think it's interesting. It's a really good golf course. It's a really good event for the Webb.com. And Scott Piercy, who had surgery about 4 months ago at the Cleveland Clinic in Cleveland, Ohio, is going to be returning to action kind of on a rehab assignment in the Webb.com tour. We'll see how Piercy does, but it's glad to see him back between the ropes.
And on the Champions Tour, Alex, a big one. The United States Senior Open, Kenny Perry defending. Going to be at a fantastic golf course, Oak Tree in Edmonton, Oklahoma. Couples and Stadler and, you know.
I think Bobby.
Couples,
you know,
is not going to play, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, Couples, Stadler, Larry Mize, and Graham Marsh have all withdrawn due to injury. Last one recently being Mize because of a back. I think you're going to find a lot of guys that you know are going to withdraw from this event because it's 4 days. It's going to be very difficult conditions, and they have to walk. And a lot of guys are not used to putting four rounds in of walking. So you're going to probably see some more withdrawals between now and the beginning of the tournament, which means it's just the nature of the business that these guys just don't play these four-rounders that much, and the conditions get very, very difficult. You're going to get probably a little difficult conditions this week as well when you have the women at Royal Birkdale playing in the Ricoh Women's British Open, defending champion Stacey Lewis. Stacey Lewis has been playing very, very well, Bob. I think that the women will be hard-pressed to push her at Royal Birkdale, which, as I said earlier, is one of the best venues for any kind of an Open Championship.
It really is, but Stacey Lewis, I agree, been playing some fantastic golf, but she's going to be hard-pressed. Michelle Wee going to be playing there, Lexi Thompson, Lydia Ko, who knows, you know, I mean, Charlie Hull is another name that's been playing some fantastic golf. All right, let's put you on the spot. I was successful in picking Michelle Wee to win the U.S. Open, so I'll let you take first pick. I know you took Stacey Lewis at Pinehurst. Who are you taking at Birkdale?
Still taking Stacey Lewis. I think she'd be the one that I would pick. She shows that she has the game in almost any conditions. And I know that Janice Self would be remiss with us, Bobby, if we don't mention Laura Davies, newly appointed Dame Laura Davies, received that appointment during the Queen's Birthday Honors. Laura Davies, or Dame Laura Davies, will be playing in her 30th Ricoh British Open, Women's British Open. So congratulations to her. Who are you picking, Bobby?
I'm going to go with Lydia Ko out of left field, and I think she's got
everything. She's number two in the world, Bob. It's not out of left field.
Well, you're taking the number one player in the world, so don't yell at me.
I didn't say she was out of left field either, did I?
All right. Well, you wrap it up for us from right field.
That's it for this week. Please send your comments, suggestions, or questions to entry@thegrillroom.com, or if you prefer, call us at 866-525-1451. We hope you've enjoyed the fastest hour in golf and the inside story, The Grill Room.
And we'll be back again next Monday with all the results and news from the John Deere Classic, the Women's British Open, and, of course, the Scottish Open. And we'll have firsthand accounts as our man on the scene, Alex Maselli, will be right there. We said earlier that we'd give you an update on the Web.com Tour event. Well, it went into a playoff between American Derek Fathauer and Canadian Roger Sloan. Roger Sloan comes out on top with his first Web.com Tour win. He was 80th on the money list coming into the event, made only 7 cuts this year. So congratulations to Canada's Roger Sloan, winning the Nova Scotia Open. A big thank you to our partners, Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses, equipment for a visual advantage. So for Janice Self, our executive producer, Alex, Bowtie Maselli, and myself, Bob Bubka, thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Follow us on TuneIn Radio or on Twitter at TGR Golf. And why not like us on the Grill Room Golf Show Facebook page.
Thanks for spending some time in the Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses.